This is a public service announcement. It has come to our attention that rather too many of you enjoyed last week's public service announcement. Therefore, this week's public service announcement shall have no mention of that word or any other word that might be considered risque, crude, bold, or naughty. Have you ever seen a bear being fisted by a moose? I have. It's really more arousing than you might think. Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, with oleole.com, the football community website. It's going to be a fairly short Arscast tonight because I'm not feeling very well, I have to say. I don't know what's wrong. I've got some kind of cold or chest infection type thing, and I've got a sore throat, and I don't much feel like talking, which is not great because I'm the only one that actually talks on this thing. There's no blog chat this week because I just haven't had time to organize with anybody a phone call or anything like that, so sorry. But between now and the end, we'll be talking about, I suppose, the cup games with Burnley and Spurs. We'll be talking about, what else? Lassana Diarra, perhaps? As well as that, Emmanuel Eboué is here. The man in the bar is here with a player history. Arsene Wenger Hawkins is here. There's a new feature, which features... which is good, as features should feature certain things. It features Robin Van Persie, and who knows what else between now and the end. So, what's happened between the last Arscast and this Arscast? Well, in terms of the football, we had a FA Cup game. A FA Cup game and FA Cup game, even, on Sunday against Burnley. And 2-0, it could have been a bit more difficult, I suppose, because they played very well and hit the bar really early on. You'd have to wonder how it would have gone had we gone a goal down, but I think we would have had the quality to come back. As it was, Eduardo continued his great form with a cool-as-cucumber goal, and then Nicholas Bentner made it 2-0 with about 15 minutes to go after they'd gone down to 10 men. So a fairly safe passage through to the next round of the Cup, despite what they were saying on the BBC about how Burnley were giving us all these kinds of... They didn't really have any chances. They played very well, in fairness to them. And even when they went down to 10 men, they were full of spunk, I suppose. Well, they might be. I don't know anything about their lives outside football, but they played very well with 10 men. But, of course, our quality shone through in the end. Jens Lehmann played a game at last. Could be his last game. There's all this on-off talk about him and Borussia Dortmund. During the Carling Cup semi-final, they said on Sky, yes, he's agreed terms with Borussia Dortmund. And then afterwards, Arsene Wenger said, no, he hasn't. And then Dortmund said, no, actually, he hasn't. Somebody jumped the gun there. And then Jens said, no, I haven't either. And then Dortmund are saying, well, we're still hopeful. And then other people are saying he's gone, and nothing has been decided yet. It does seem, though, based on what Arsene said in the program notes for the Spurs game, that the three goalkeepers will be Almunia, Fabianski, and Vito Manone, should Jens leave. He just signed a five-year deal, so he will be the backup, and possibly not the Carling Cup keeper, but he might get games in what? The Zenith Data Systems Cup? Are we in that? We should be. We should be playing our kids in that. One notable absentee from the FA Cup game was Lassana Diarra, who Arsene Wenger said would probably be involved. But we'll leave discussion about him for a little bit later on, because if I talk about everything now, then I've got nothing to talk about later. Then there was a Carling Cup game on Wednesday night against Spurs at the Grove. Again, we put out a very young side. They put out essentially their best 11. And they'll be disappointed, I suppose, that they didn't win the game, at least 1-0, if not 2-0 or 3-0. They had the chances, I suppose. But, you know, in typical Spurs fashion, they blew them. They blew them. And they played well. They played very well, I thought. Berbatov played well. You give him enough time and space and he'll play well and he'll be dangerous. And that's probably as well as we've seen Spurs play in a long time. And it's probably as badly as we've played in a long time. Too much giving the ball away. Gilberto guilty of it. Danielson, Diaby guilty of messing around with the ball. And we just didn't quite manage to link up the attacker and the midfield at all. We got a lucky break with the goal where it sort of rebounded off Theo's hand. Some people say it didn't, but I was looking at replays again today. It definitely came off his fist. He sort of was running forward. It was like, boing! He punched it into the net. Not quite Maradona-esque. It was absolutely accidental, of course. But that must be fairly sickening for Tottenham. Not only did we come back into the game, but it was a goal that could well have been disallowed. But there you go. Second leg in 2 weeks' time at White Hart Lane. So it should be interesting. The boss is going to stick with the kids, which I think is right. I said it on the blog. It's a good chance for them to play. It's a good chance for them to show what they can do or not do. But all the same, they do respond well in this particular tournament. And I think it's only fair that having got this far, having trusted the players to get him this far, you've got to trust them to get you to the final as well. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Right then. Now what? How about a player history? Yes, man in the bar.
Hello, there you are again. Now time for another old player history here on the Arsecast. It's me, the man in the bar. This evening, I'm drinking the drinkinest drink I ever drank in all my life. That's right, it's an 8-pint glass, a 1-gallon glass, if you will. Of Guinness. Oh, it's fantastic. Did you see them old Spurs last night? Did you? What a bunch of fucking morons they are. Reminded me of a joke this fella told me once. He said, what's the difference between a Spurs fan and a rat? And the rat that has the plague. And you bring the rat into your house and somehow it runs up your wife's leg and it goes up her ghee, right? And then it eats her womb out, which has your unborn child in there, and it gives your wife the plague, and the next time you have sex with your wife, she gives you the plague and then you die. And the answer was, you'd rather be friends with the rat, I think. Something like that anyway, I don't know. Anyway, with the old goalkeeping situation, such as it is at Arsenal, all over the place, Jens, is he coming or going? Who knows? I thought I'd do another old goalkeeper for the player history this week. And it's the man with the greatest name in goalkeeping history. Move over, Bruce Mary Grobbelaar or Peter Bernadette Shilton. You've got nothing on Bob Primrose Wilson. That's right, Bob Primrose Wilson. He was an old legend, so he was. Lovely curly hair. I loved his curly hair. And the great thing about Bob Wilson, right, was that he didn't use goalkeeping gloves at all. You see, he was blessed with incredibly sticky hands, which was marvellous for playing football, but not so good when you're walking down the street on a windy day. Your hands get covered in leaves and cans of Coke and old newspapers and stuff. Not so great. Bob Wilson was a very brave goalkeeper too. He'd dive at anybody's feet, and that resulted in him picking up a number of injuries, such as being kicked in the head, being booted in the head, being kneed in the head, being smashed in the head, and being clobbered in the head. But it didn't seem to do him any long-term damage, thankfully, because he went on to have a marvellous career, both as a television presenter, working on the ITV and the old BBC, and as Arsenal's goalkeeping coach for about 600 years, so he was, overseeing great goalkeepers like Pat Jennings, David Seaman, John Lukic, and Alan Miller. Yeah. Anyway, nowadays, as well as doing all that work for his own charity called the Willow Foundation, you can hire Bob Wilson to beat up a clown at your own child's birthday party. But book early, demand is high. It's true.
The man in the bar will be back with another player history on next week's Arsecast. Now, Alassana Diarra, who we all expected to play in the FA Cup and in the Carling Cup as well against Spurs, was nowhere to be seen at all. Nowhere. Not even in the squads. And when you look at the bench for the FA Cup game, with the likes of Mark Randall and Henry Lansbury and young guys like that, there's obviously been a big problem, a big falling out between himself and Arsene. Now, we know he's upset, and we know he thinks he should be playing more, and we've gone through the whole thing of, you know, he can't expect to walk into a winning team, a team that's top of the league. But he should be looking I think, at Gilberto, for example. And Gilberto is really struggling to find the sort of form he found last season, which was probably his best with the club. Diaby, the boss won't play Diaby in the middle. Very rarely do you see Abu Diaby playing in central midfield. And Danielson's still only 19 and learning his trade. And the opportunity is there for Diarra to establish himself in the second half of the season. And I'm sure he's been told, if you wait, or if you had waited, you will get your chances. Not only in the Carling Cup, but let's face it, he's missing out potentially on a final against his old club because he's being so stubborn and just because he wants to play football for somebody, anybody. Obviously, there's a level to his ambition, and that ambition must just be to play every week, and it doesn't really matter whether it's with a top team or with a team that's sort of mid-table. His ambition seems to be France more than anything else. If he's playing regularly, he thinks he's going to get into the France team, and perhaps his sights are set on Euro 2008 more than anything else. I suppose at this point it really is all just speculation, whether or not Arsène is teaching him a lesson and saying, no, you're not going to play, you can't speak like that, you'll, you know, knuckle down and get on with it and that's it, we're not selling you, or whether he's not playing him so he won't get injured, which will stop a move. We're not quite sure, but whatever's gone on, Diarra's behaviour has been totally out of line, I think. And, you know, there is the feeling that he's a good player. He is a good player. Maybe not quite as good as he thinks he is, but he is a good player. And probably a better option at the moment than Gilberto or Diaby or Danielson. And if he can't see that, all it would take is an injury to Cesc or to Flamini, and he'll start playing regular games and have a chance to establish himself in the team. So if he can't see that or isn't willing to give it that time, then, you know, I don't know what more the club can do. I think they want to keep him. Arsène said last week he wants to keep him, but, you know, we'll see. So we'll see what happens. Ultimately, if he wants out, if he wants to leave, then the way football is at the moment, we really don't have much choice. So we'll let him go and we'll make £3.5 million or £4 million on him, and then we'll buy somebody else in the summer. Or it might open the door for another young prodigy to come through. Who knows? Who knows? Diarra's leaving could make Mark Randall's career. You never know. These are the way things go in football. So that's it. Now
it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like to play board game. Top 3 Eboué board game. Number 1, Snakes and Ladders. Teach Eboué how to fall. Number 2, Operation. Water on the knee and bread basket make Eboué laugh. Number 3, Cluedo. Eboué think Colo Touré in the parlor with the candlestick. You go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
And there you go. How nice was it to see Robin Van Persie for 45 minutes again? Some people thought maybe he's not ready, but I don't think the club would have risked him in the game against Spurs if he wasn't fully fit. Whether or not he had a reaction to his injury, we're not quite sure. Not very serious, it doesn't seem, but he looked knackered after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then it turns out that, you know, on the Wednesday night, he went home and got into bed and then got the flu. So he probably wasn't feeling the best anyway when the game started, so that's why he looked knackered. Well, poor old Robbins had such a difficult time with injuries, hasn't he? This season he had that knee. I suppose we keep saying he could have been out for the season the way his knee bent that time. But to come back and then get out again for another 2 or 3 weeks, and then he was due to be back for this weekend's game against Birmingham, and he's not gonna be. But still, I suppose his new TV show in Holland will be keeping him, you know, busy. While he's not playing and, you know, he's trying to keep his fitness up, he's got this new TV show in Holland, and Arsblog, no other site has this, it's an exclusive extract from his brand new Dutch TV show. Here we go.
Now on the Dutch TV, it's Keep Fit with Robin van Persie.
Hello, it's me, Robin van Persie, teaching you how to keep fit so you can play the football. The first thing we're going to do is a little stretch to warm up. So very slowly, just bend forward and... I should point out it's very important not to break your spine when doing this. Now, where did I leave Gary Lewin's telephone number?
Ch- tune in sometime before 2012 for the next episode of Keep Fit with Robin Van Persie.
Hopefully we'll see Robin back sooner rather than later. Now, this week was a momentous week. A very, very sad event took place. Something that makes you think about life. Leaves you a little bit chastened. You start to question, why is it that we're here? What is it that we do? And it sort of puts things in perspective a little bit. Sometimes we get hung up on the trivial things, don't we? Whether this player didn't take a good throw in, or whether his corners aren't great. And really, we should be concentrating on the things that matter. Of course, I'm talking about Sam Allardyce being sacked. I laughed. I did laugh. It's a shame it wasn't us that killed him off, but I laughed all the same, and it brought about a slight return from Arsene Wenger Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. I have been away on a very important mission, digging up dirt on Barack Obama for Hillary Clinton. You'd think it would be easy finding something on a black dude called Hussein in America, but he's covered his tracks well. Anyway, I was sitting in a roadside diner just outside the small town of Fistington, Alabama, when I heard the news. I tell you, I dropped my double pounder with cheese, and not just because my arms have all the strength of Theo Walcott. It was incredible, almost too good to be true. Sam Allardyce got sacked. Ha ha ha. I laughed so hard I wet myself. It's a good job I don't notice these kinds of things. I have to say it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. What am I saying? It could happen to a nicer bloke and often has, so I'm glad it's happened to such a gum-chewing, spittle-spraying cunt-basher like him. But what is he going to do now? How will poor Sam manage to inflict himself upon the rest of the world like he has done for the last 10 years? Being the kindly person that I am, I would like to offer Sam Allardyce a job. At my country home I keep a wide range of livestock and they take a great deal of looking after. They also produce an enormous amount of shite. As I am incredibly wealthy and I find it hard to spend all my money, what with simply sitting around and leaning to one side while drooling out of the corner of my mouth all day, I can be extravagant. I will have one of my immigrant workers, the son of a Mexican and a Polish person, I call him a Pexican, serve up plate after plate of shit, and for each one he eats I will pay him £1,000. As a bonus, if he can eat 10 in a row, I'll throw in another £2,000, and if he vomits and eats that, then I'll give him £500 extra. In order to make his stay as comfortable as possible, I have arranged a straw bed in the corner of the dungeon where he can stay for as long as he can eat the poo. So what about it, Fat Sam? Do you fancy eating plates of shit? Let's face it, you've served up the football equivalent of plates of shit for years, it's about time you got a taste of your own medicine. I shall now have one of my boys hand deliver the message, and if Allardyce says no, then the boy will have a stun gun and a handily placed van to make it happen anyway. Woohoo. Oh yes.
More from the great man on another Arsecast in the very near future. Coming up on Saturday, we have got Birmingham City at the Grove. And that means two former Arsenal players will be back at the club. Fabrice Muamba and Sebastian Larsson, who I always liked. I thought he was a good player, Larsson. Scored a great goal this season against Tottenham. But hopefully he'll have kept his shooting boots somewhere else. By 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I suppose Bentner could play as well, couldn't he, against a team he spent last season on loan with. So there's a bit of an Arsenal connection there. The injury situation is a little bit worrying, I suppose. Van Persie is out. We know that for sure. Not so much with his injury, but with the flu, as we said a few minutes ago. Giroud is out against a team that he actually spent most of this season on loan with. But considering the way he played on Wednesday night, him being out,
it isn't really a big loss. He needs to find his Arsenal feet again. No word yet on Philippe Senderos. He's going to be assessed by the medical team tomorrow. And you'd have to think that if he passes through, then himself and Gallas will play in the centre of defence. If not, Justin Hoy can move in there. And he did a very good job, I thought, on Wednesday night when he moved into the centre of defence. And he's a good player to have in the squad, Hoy. He's not a world beater by any means, but he's solid. He's just a solid player. He can play at right back, he can play at left back, he can slot into the centre of defence and do a good job. And you need guys like that in your squad, and fair play to him. He was probably one of our most improved players last season. And then he played 30-odd games, I suppose, and then found himself out of the team altogether because of Sanya's arrival. Now, I'm not saying Hoyt is better than Sanya, because clearly he isn't. Sanya's a fantastic find and a great signing, but I suppose Hoyt, more than anybody, more than Diarra, for example, could have said, well, look, I want to go and play first-team football. But he's got his head down, worked hard, and when he's had his chances, he's done well. So Hoyt could play in the centre of defence, or Gilberto, I suppose, as a last resort as well. After that game, though, we've got a whole week off. No midweek games whatsoever, which is a bit of a strange one after the glut of games through December and the early part of this month. But I suppose it gives the boys a chance to recover and get some rest on those old legs. So that's it. Birmingham on Saturday. 3 points, please, if you don't mind. I'm going to go now because I'm really not feeling well. My voice is completely about to go. So I'll talk to you on next week's Arsecast. Bye.
Hello, I am the penis of Lassana Diarra, and when I look in the mirror, I see the biggest penis in the world. And for this reason, I am leaving Arsenal, a team where I can win many trophies and play the best football in Europe, for some crowd of mid-table shit, but it means I will play every single week, and that is what is important. I do not care if I play for a non-league side like Halifax or Tottenham Hotspur. It doesn't matter. Once everybody can see that I am the biggest dick on earth.